16 tonight.
Cruising.
Cruising for a bruising. All right, so Revelation 14, we're going to start in verse 14. Revelation 14, verses 14 through 20 reads, "Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and seated on the cloud, one like a son of man, with a golden crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. And another angel came out of the temple, calling with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, 'Put in your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is fully ripe.' So he who sat on the cloud swung his sickle across the earth, and the earth was reaped. Then another angel came out of the temple in heaven, and he too had a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, the angel who has authority over the fire. And he called with a loud voice to the one who had the sharp sickle, 'Put your sickle in and gather the clusters from the vine of the earth, for its grapes are ripe.' So the angel swung his sickle across the earth and gathered the grape harvest of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden outside the city, and blood flowed from the winepress as high as a horse's bridle for 1,600 stadia." Sounds fun. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we pray that it would speak to our hearts, it would strengthen our faith, and bring us hope this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so as we read through this, we're moving towards the latter part of the tribulation. And basically, we're going to move through the last part of 14 and chapter 15 fairly quick, because it's really just kind of a synopsis of what's about to happen. And then the later chapters go into detail. So we're just going to kind of do a high-level Passover, because the details all come in later chapters. And so we can either slow down and do it all now or wait till we get there. So we'll wait till we get there. So that's basically what's happening. And John, the author, has given us a quick glimpse and a reminder of who wins, because we've read about some pretty like crazy things that are going to happen, and it's just kind of a little timeout that says, hey, by the way, Jesus wins. So it says there's one seated on a cloud like a son of man and reaping the harvest. And that description fits the description of Jesus that we've seen in other places. Like the Son of Man, the golden crown on his head. But he's coming with a sickle in his hand this time, because there is some purpose to what he's about to do. There's the part there in verse 20 where it talks about the blood flowing for 1,600 stadia. That's about 200 miles. And so basically what's happening is, the 200 miles, is that literal? Is it an estimation? Probably just an estimation. But basically, essentially what it's saying is that the final acts that are going to take place, you know, the Battle of Armageddon and all of those things, are going to be so great and so intense that if you think of gathering all the grapes, and you take them into the wine press, and as you begin to stomp on the grapes to get the juice, and the juice just begins to spurt out as you stomp on the grapes, and it begins to flow, and the battle is going to be so intense that that's what it's going to be like. And in the aftermath, when it's all done, it's going to just... So it's going to be... some significant bloodshed during those times. And then again, we're just kind of going quickly, because in the next two or three chapters, we're going to go into all of this in detail. And so this is really just the, hey, this is about to happen. And now in a minute, I'm going to give you the details. So then Revelation chapter 15 says, "Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and amazing. seven angels with seven plagues, which are the last. For with them the wrath of God is finished. So there's an end in sight. And I saw what appeared to be a sea of glass mingled with fire, and also those who had conquered the beast and its image and the number of its name, standing beside the sea of glass with harps of God in their hands. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. We will not fear, O Lord, or who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed." Verse 5, "After this I looked, and the sanctuary of the tent of witness in heaven was opened. And out of the sanctuary came the seven angels with the seven plagues, clothed in pure bright linen with golden sashes around their chests. And one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. And the sanctuary was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one could enter the sanctuary until the seven plagues of the seven angels were finished." Okay, so verse 15. So we have the sea of glass that's mentioned. We see this also in chapter 4. There's a little bit more happening here with this. In chapter 4, it's unoccupied. Now it's occupied. And, you know, it says that it's like glass and it's mingled with fire. And so John is trying to use words that the people might understand to describe whatever this phenomenal thing is that he has seen. And so, you know, he's doing his best, and what exactly he's seeing, we don't know, but we know, you know, previously it was unoccupied. Now there's people there. And then it goes on and it talks about these that are standing there begin to sing. And the ones that are standing there are the ones that overcame the beast and his number. And they're there by the sea of glass with their harps, and they're singing songs. And so the meaning of the song that's sung, it talks about creation. "Great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord." All of the things that the Lord has done and created. So it's recognizing that. It's recognizing justice. It says, "Just and true are your ways." There's worship. "King of the ages, who will not fear you? Who will not bow down?" They're coming out of a season when nobody wants to bow down. But they're entering a season where everyone will bow down. And so these are acknowledging that. "Holiness, for you alone are holy." Omnipotence and the eternity of God. "All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed." We're going to see some things a little differently. And then we have the seven angels with the seven plagues and the seven bowls. So we know that there's these seven angels that are going to come out. They're clothed in a priestly type garment. And then it says they have seven plagues, and then one of the living creatures, and we remember if we back up in Revelation, there's a description of the four living creatures around the throne. One of them is going to give them each one a bowl. So we have the seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God. And the seven plagues and the seven bowls are going to work together. Whether the bowls are kind of the activating ingredient that the angels need to give, have authority to release those plagues, or however it might be that that's working. That's the picture that John sees. These seven angels are coming out. They have this plague. And then the creature, their throne, gives them what they need to go and have authority to release those things. And then it says, "The sanctuary fills with the smoke of the glory of God and from his power." And then nothing is able to come into that space for of time. And so basically, this is all, I know that's a ton of verses really fast, but essentially what's happening is the author is kind of saying, these are the things that are about to happen, here's kind of the big picture, and then in the next chapters, we're going to dive into more detail about exactly what is going to happen, and what Armageddon is going to look like, and what are these plagues going to look like. But we're entering into the final portion or final time of the tribulation, which is when things really get intense. You know, it's at this point, we're past the point where, you know, there's been the abomination of desolation, and where you know, they're worshiping the Antichrist and all those things, and so we're entering into the final climax of the tribulation and all the craziness that's going to take place. So all of this is a setup for the following chapters, and one of the things we have to keep in mind when we're going through the book of Revelation is that these things are not chronological necessarily, the chapters in Revelation. If we were to do this chronologically, you know, we would go from chapter 15 and 16, and then we would jump to chapter 19, and there's moments in the book of Revelation where they kind of take a time out to give us a little bit of information about a different aspect of what's going to be happening, and then we jump back into the chronology and keep rolling through with what's going to take place. And so, again, just a very high level picture of what's coming in the next few chapters. And so, you know, the book of Revelation is incredibly challenging. And I had some interesting conversations this last week. I have some friends that all of this is, they don't believe in the rapture. They don't believe that the rapture, they don't believe it fits in with the scriptures. They believe all of Revelation is figurative. They like to debate theology. I am not a debating person. I just, my mind doesn't work that way. There's some people that are very intellectual, and they're very sharp, and they are good at that, and they can retain all of the information and the details, and they can really engage in those kind of conversations. I'm not that guy. And so, but it's interesting just to hear kind of the different perspective, and you just kind of go, if this isn't things that are coming and that are going to happen, I don't know what we do with it from a figurative perspective. And the bottom line is that there's going to be some intense moments in the future, and we need to have our hearts ready and prepare to engage in those things, because when the birth pains come, the birth pains go for a while before birth takes place, and so we will experience some difficult things. And so I just want us to be thinking about that and aware of that. I want us to take some time this evening. We want to spend some extra time in prayer tonight. We've got a lot of stuff going on with folks in our church and friends and relatives and whatnot, and so. But before we do that, does anybody have any questions on these this portion of Revelation? No questions. Okay. Well, we want to go to a time of prayer. We got a lot of. Here we go.